When former WDBJ 7 anchor Chris Hurst defeated Delegate Joseph Yost in last month's election for the 12th House District, he made national headlines for unseating a three-term NRA-backed Republican, but it wasn't his first bout with countrywide recognition. In 2015, Channel 7 reporter Allison Parker and photojournalist Adam Ward were gunned down on live television. Hurst had been sharing a relationship and a home with Allison. He alluded to the tragedy in his victory speech last month.
Don't let what has happened here tonight be your only example of how to respond to the worst of the worst, to how to respond to grief, to tragedy, to trials and tribulations. Don't look at me as some type of symbol other than just doing what one guy would do to show a community how much he loved it and wanted to give back to it.
Chris Hurst is in studio with us this morning. And Chris, on behalf of Lillian and I and everybody here, welcome to our studios. I believe it's the first time stop for you, so we're glad to have you here.
It's good to be with you guys this morning.
Well, Chris, after your celebration there and after all your interviews, Chris, when you finally had a quiet moment alone to process where your life's headed after, you know, quitting journalism to be a lawmaker, what was going through your head?
Well, it actually was a very sobering experience. I had very much an attitude after we won to be a workhorse and not a show horse. And so I wanted to get down to the actual business of legislating and going back and trying to reconnect with constituent groups in my district to find out, you know, what legislation really they wanted me to start working on and crafting. And so a couple of weeks after the election, it really did kind of dawn on me this sobering reality of what's before me and the responsibilities before me. And the opportunity to go and be a voice for Southwest Virginia in the New River Valley.
Sure.
A session for the House doesn't convene until next month, but you've just filed your first ever bill proposal this week. Tell us about that bill and the events that led you to propose that piece of legislation.
Yeah, so the first bill that I introduced actually helps college students. I represent 40,000 college students between the campuses of Virginia Tech and Radford University and New River Community College. This bill would allow for an exemption to our FOIA law to prevent the disclosure of students' cell phone records and personal email addresses that are found in student directories and other scholastic records. This was brought up during the campaign when a third party that was advocating for Democrats got student directory information on college campuses across the Commonwealth and then was texting voters to get them interested in the election. And those college students, I think, have a right to privacy and shouldn't be texted by any third party from any information that they give to their college university as part of their application or as part of their college experience. So it's a small little change to the FOIA law, but I think could make a big impact for college students across the Commonwealth.
And the organization you're talking about, that was NextGen. During a candidate panel earlier this year, you said NextGen's tactics of obtaining student data and contacting them were creepy. Mm-hmm. Why did you ignore that instinct while working with NextGen? And do you think you'd be proposing this legislation if delegates Greg Abib and Joseph Yost hadn't really called you out during that panel?
I think that it was unfortunate that they decided to take that tactic. And I actually had heard about this whole idea of FOIA-ing, you know, asking through a Freedom of Information Act request for that information from another candidate in another race. And I told him, I think this is a huge ethical problem. Are you sure you really want to proceed with it? And had no idea that NextGen was doing it until it was brought up by students, you know, who were receiving texts. And we told them that we don't want them to be using any of that information on behalf of our campaign. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell, you know, an outside organization what to actually do or not to do. It's up to them. And would I still be pursuing this even if I hadn't been called out on it? You know, it probably would not have become as much of an issue for me to look into and have to research if not having been brought to attention and brought to light during the campaign. But I'm glad that it was brought to light, and this is now a solution for us to be able to try and fix.
And what's the difference between your bill and the one proposed by Delegate Tony Wilt?
Yeah, the other bill that's introduced, you know, I think tries to achieve the same goal, but does so in a way that I think tries to put too much information that would be exempt for disclosure. That could impact students who are trying to apply for financial aid for graduate school, could affect students who are trying to get their future employer to verify that they actually graduated from an institution and got a degree. So my version is one sentence. It's an easy fix, an easy solution to a problem, and I think it's the right way to go.
All right, it is coming up now at 8:50. Delegate-elect Chris Hurst in studio with us this morning. We're glad to have him with us. And Chris, the Washington Post published an article pointing to you and to Delegate-elect Danica Rome as former journalists to be potentially key players in reforming Virginia's freedom of information laws. Now, a Lynchburg newspaper editorial calls the Commonwealth one of the most restrictive states when it comes to FOIA laws. Now, Chris, is there any conversation on reform in your camp?
I think we have those discussions all the time. And it's ironic, and I pointed this out to Danica when I talked to her earlier this week, that the first bill that I would introduce would actually be another exemption to Virginia's FOIA law, as rather than actually working towards reforms and seeing whether there are any exemptions that are actually overreaching and not serving the public in the best fashion possible. You know, I think that there are other states that do a better job of making sure that public records are accessible to the public in a timely fashion. And FOIA and the ability to get public records from government agencies shouldn't just be a press issue. This should be an issue for all Virginians to want to care about. And I'm happy that, you know, maybe we can take a closer look at some possible improvements to the law.
You've discussed introducing legislation that could provide solutions to student debt. What do you have in mind? Are you working with any delegates on that?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things. One is, can we bring back the Virginia student loan refinancing program that we used to have that would allow you to refinance your student loan debt through the Commonwealth and hopefully get a reduced interest rate? But we also need to look at the overall cost of college education and then how students can sometimes be prevented from continuing their education if they have an outstanding debt that they can't pay. Then they're not allowed to continue on semester after semester. And that prevents them from being able to actually address the debt that they still are obligated to. So maybe we study that issue more in depth, making sure that students actually have as few barriers as possible to completing their degree.
12th District Delegate-elect Chris Hurst joins us live in studio. You've said numerous times while campaigning you're not a one-issue candidate. You aren't campaigning solely for gun control. You've said you are a gun owner yourself. Just to clarify, do you think we need reform? And if so, what kind of reform do you think Virginia is ready for?
Yeah, I think we can do a lot to make sure that we try and save as many lives as we can of people who are dying from gun violence in the Commonwealth. And more people die from homicide, suicide, or accidental firearm-related deaths than in car crashes in the Commonwealth each year. So this is an issue that we all have to care about. But I was talking to a guy yesterday in Radford. I was at a Brick House Pizza having a meeting. A guy came up to me and he said, you know, I didn't vote for you. I listened to everybody who said that you're coming to take everybody's guns. And I just, you know, wanted to say, I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to give you a chance. And I said, well, look, I don't know what you heard or if you heard anything from me, but I'm a gun owner, like to do sport shooting, skeet and trap, wouldn't want to do anything that would harm the hunting and sporting traditions of the Commonwealth. Actually, I was looking at maybe trying to have a reciprocity for fishing licenses across state lines in West Virginia. So if you float in the New River into West Virginia, you know, whatever you catch would still be a valid catch, you know. So when I told him that I just want to see fewer people dying from suicide, homicide, and accidental firearm-related deaths, he was like, well, you know, I wish I had listened to you before the election instead of just other people who were spreading rumors.
Chris Hurst, delegate-elect in studio with us this morning. Before we switch gears, Chris, one more along those lines. Is there a regulation in place, if enforced, could have prevented the deaths of Allison and Adam, Chris, or do we need to introduce a bill?
Not related to gun violence, I don't think so. I also did not run a campaign to try and get elected so that I could introduce legislation that would have prevented what happened. That's too myopic of a view. You know, I think that what happened in our situation at WDBJ was really a lack of communication. And this is something we joked about in the newsroom. You know, for being in the communication business, we sure are poor communicators, right? And this is something that you see in a lot of workplaces. We don't communicate. We don't talk to one another. Certainly when students are being enrolled at one place or another, we don't communicate with prior education institutions or the military well enough. So we need to talk more about people who are either coming to our schools or coming to our jobs and making sure that there isn't anything in their past that needs to be looked at with closer scrutiny. And so some legislation that I think might help would allow for maybe civil immunity for employers to more freely talk during the human resources process about past violent work behavior. But there is, I don't think, any reasonable, measured gun reform proposal that that would have approximately addressed what happened to Allison and Adam.
All right, Chris, we have about a minute left. You've talked about how you're wary of headlines labeling you as the boyfriend of a reporter who was killed on live television. And in your victory speech, you said you don't want to be a symbol. If you could create your own headline for yourself, or if you could choose how you want people to remember you by, what would that be like?
Well, I hope that as I continue on in public service, that people continue to think that I'm someone who appreciates listening to people, appreciates being an advocate and a voice for people. But the thing that I care about the most right now is making sure that Southwest Virginia and the New River Valley have a louder, stronger voice, and that we are going to address rural economic development. That's what I've been telling everybody that I've been talking to in meetings since the election. What do you care about? Rural economic development. How do we do that? We need to have more investments in our schools. We need to expand Medicaid and have better health care options. We need to make sure we bring Amtrak and rail down to the New River Valley. Those are things we need to do now.
All right. Thank you so much. 12th District Delegate-elect Chris Hurst, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.